Awesome, awesome. Did y'all get a little rain yesterday? Poquito? A little? Just a little bit? Yeah, well, we'll take it, whatever we can get. We got a lot going on today. You feel the excitement? We got a lot of stuff happening. We'll get to all of that, but glad you're here. Are you ready to worship? Welcome you to our service. Welcome you to our live stream audience as well that's worshiping at home. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, into this place. I thank you. Father, I'm just grateful and thankful for the people right here in this room and the ones who are in their homes that are worshiping with us. Father, thank you for knitting our hearts together. May we be unified in you. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place, into every home that's worshiping with us? With the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. We pray it in that precious name, above all names, Jesus. Amen. Rise if you're able as we worship.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend. Thank you. eyes on the sparrow, and he has chosen us before the creation of the world for good works. You're so important to God that he delights in you. He chose you before the creation of the world to be his representative on this earth. And the Lord is here with us, and he's here inside of your heart. I want you to know one thing this morning, church. God is for you. He's not against you. Now, what I want us to do together is leave this world behind and forget about who you thought you are. But what I want you to understand is that you are already in heaven with Jesus. He has gone before us, and he has prepared a place for us. And so when the winds and the storms of life, they howl around us, what I want you to understand, church, is you are with God. Not because you deserve it, not because you earned it, but he has come and he has saved us. And he chose you and me before the creation of the world to be with him. So who you really are right now in this moment is with God. And so anything that this world that makes you fear, it's a lie. It's not real. It's not real. So the thoughts that attack your mind that you should be afraid, Jesus Christ has defeated all those things. Sin, your failure, your mistakes, Jesus is bigger than that. Death will not separate us from the love of God because Jesus Christ is the conqueror. And death is defeated. So right now you are with Christ. And so let's leave this world behind and the fears that anchor us and hold us down. And let's worship because he has rescued us. We had conference this weekend, so I'm a little fired up, Jeff. I'm carrying it over. But our God has saved us. We didn't save ourselves. So he deserves the best of our worship. So this morning, let's worship the very best we can because we are already with him. Let's pour out a heart of praise because he is worthy.
Of your now, I have heard.
chorus one more time. Because your love.
Because your love. And wave after wave. Crashes over me. Crashes over me. You are for us. You are not against us. Champion of heaven. You made a way for all to enter in.
Praise Him because He has made a way. Amen, amen, church. All right. Everybody just stay put where you are. Children, we'll get to you in a second. Everybody stay right here for 1 second. And you can sit down, yes, I'm sorry.
All right, good morning, church. So today is that time of year again where we get to, as you see on here, celebrate a few people, and that is the seniors that will be graduating this year. And so I told the early service this morning, I said, you know, it's been a pretty crazy couple of weeks. Last week on Monday, I closed my sixth year here. I'm starting my seventh year. And so I said, this group is kind of like a double punch to the gut because, A, I mean, I don't know if you can count, but there's a lot of them. And then B, on top of that, this is the first group that I really got to see from sixth grade all the way through my seniors this year. And so it's been really, really cool to see their growth, see their development, see the opportunities they've had. But then also it's sad to see them go. And so with that being said, we want to have a time of celebration, but we also understand that this can be a time of kind of mourning and loss too, because we lose some great, great students as they go on with what they have in store for them. I will say that in my 6 years, and I didn't tell early service this, but I figured it'd be worth it. In my 6 years here, there's one thing that I have never, ever seen, even though I've watched 100,000 times. And yesterday, while we were setting up all the senior tables, I was sitting talking, and I was kind of looking at hole 11, I think it is, behind us, which is a par 3. I love this course. I've played it a couple times, not near as much as I'd want to. But 6 years of watching golf here, we were in there setting up, and I saw someone hit a hole-in-one yesterday. And I was like, man, what a crazy thing. And, I mean, Kaysen and a few other of the seniors were in there, and, I mean, the people on this tee box were absolutely losing it. And they were going crazy. And I started thinking about that. I was like, well, that's kind of really weird. But in a nutshell, this crew has been that hole-in-one for our youth ministry. And so we very, very much appreciate all of the time and effort that they put in so many different things. You've seen them up here in the praise band. You've seen on Sundays for a couple times a year. They've led weekly for praise band. Most of these have taught lessons for youth. They have gone to camps. They've been on mission trips. They have been involved in many, many different ways. And so they have been an incredible gift to us. And it's our time to honor them. And so I'm going to call out the names. If you will come up when I call your name, and Shauna will hand you your gifts. Adelie Bradford. Mm-hmm. And remain standing up here, please, after you get your gift. Next is Jessica Hunter. Kaysen Christopher. Logan Huffington. Dalton McKee. I told y'all it's going to be a little bit. There's a lot of them this year. Colton McKee. Run, man, run. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Connor Sove. Jet Jackson. Sydney Katona. And last but not least, Victoria Baker. As Victoria is making her way up, we always do want to honor anybody that might be a senior in the congregation that we did not point out. Sometimes there's guests, sometimes we have visitors for the first time, and we do have extra Bibles. If there is anybody in the congregation that would like to be honored with this crew, we'd love to have that opportunity as well. And you can come up, and if not, we will continue and move on. Okay? All right. Well, if you would like to come up and pray, like stand with one, families, this would be a great time. If you'd like to come up and stand with your graduate, or if you know someone and you'd like to come up and pray over a certain graduate, we're going to ask you to come up now, and Pastor Jeff's going to come up, and he's going to pray over the seniors.
If you don't know these young people, this is a great group.
Amen.
Great, great group. And we're excited to send them forth, and we thank that God for sharing them with us. If you'll pray with me. Father, it's we just ask you to go forward. Father, to go and prepare a place for each one of these young people as they move into their adult lives. God, whether it be school or work or whatever it is, God, would you go before them? Would you give them friends? Would you give them strong and healthy relationships? Would you walk with them, Father? We thank you that that you have shared them with us. We thank you for these families. God, I look through this group and I just see wonderful families that have nurtured these young people. And so, Lord, would you go forward? Would you bless the family? I know there'll be some grieving and possibly even some rejoicing, Lord, as they send them forth. Whatever it is, Father, would you be right in the midst of that? We love you and we trust you, and we entrust these young people to your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Told you we had a lot going on this morning. We've also got three different folks that, actually, four different folks that have come to join the church this morning. Jim and Diana Loudermilk, come on up. Lisa Thornhill, come on up. Y'all are not the new contestants on The Price is Right, but come on up anyway. And Juddy Farrell, come on up. Behave yourself. I'm just telling you. Can y'all scrunch in here? I'm gonna stand to the side so we can maybe get our home crew can see you guys too. So all of you, and now Britt, you're a member. You come in support of Lisa, right? And don't tell anybody, but you're a member too, right,
yes.
Scott? Okay. I joke. It's okay. You go here. Yes. Yeah. So, but you two, Jim and Diana and Lisa and Judy, y'all have all accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been baptized in that faith, and we receive that. So I just ask, now I want to tell you a couple of things about Judy before we get started here. He knows. He's ornery. That's first thing you should know. But also, he can sign. Now, and he has a sign for different people. What's your sign for me, Judy? Like I'm crazy. Yes, I think you put him up to that, Scott. So also, show us a sign for yes. That means yes. So whenever we ask these questions, Judy will be responding with that. So I ask you guys again, even though you have already accepted Christ and he is your Lord and Savior and you've been baptized, is he still your Lord and Savior? Amen. Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. I love you guys. I'm glad to welcome you. And you, what's the one rule that I told him about joining the church?
Keep the pastor on his feet.
No. Hey, I said you have to be nice to the pastor. You have to be nice to the pastor. Okay, children. We're going to dismiss our children for the children's church.
Carlene to get her peeps out of the room here. Man, what a great day. Amen. Amen. Lots of celebration. The Lord's in the house. We can always celebrate that. Well, welcome again. For those of you worshiping online, welcome as well. Encourage you, if you want to check into our service, you can do that with the new app. If you have any app questions, seek out myself or Brent Aiken, and we'll help you get connected. I want to remind you men that the men's breakfast is this Saturday at 7:30 at Wiley Baptist. And then if you're new to our fellowship and you want to know more about our ministries and our theological beliefs, you can meet with our pastor in 2 weeks. That's the 21st of May in the office. That is our discovery class. And so a good time to get to meet him and find out more about our church. I'm excited about this generation here that God's raising up. I've told you this before that man, I just have a just a weird heart for this generation, for the Gen Z generation, and which is kind of odd. And I told the early service this because I barely tolerated my own children, much less anybody else's. I mean, I love them. It was just a weird time for me, but man, I really have a heart for them. Here's a couple of statistics. 20% of our population is Gen Z. From birth to age 25, 26, that's 68 million people. At some point, that generation is going to be running businesses in our nation. And we're aware of the struggles, mental health issues with this generation, struggling with their sexual identity, but there's also some neat things happening with this generation. They're rethinking things. For them, I'm just going to use this term, the hookup culture is dying with this generation. They see value in relationships and marriages. They're a very spiritual generation. And God's raising them up. He's raising them up. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to, again, pray for the graduating seniors, plus pray for this generation that God will just wreck their hearts and our nation will be changed because of that. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these graduating seniors, Lord. You created them uniquely. Every one of them has a destiny to live out. You seal that in their mother's womb. And so, Lord, you're raising them up to walk out that destiny. I pray against anything that would hinder them from fulfilling the purposes that you have designed for their lives. And, Lord, I pray for that generation and the Gen Z generation again, Lord, that you just touch them mightily, touch them deeply. I know they're heavily involved in social media. They're struggling with, again, mental health issues, but I also read something that they're trading in their smartphones for dumb phones because they see a need to change. And there's nothing wrong with social media. I'm just saying, Lord, they're seeking. They're looking for something different. And so, Lord, I think at the end of the day, they're looking for you. And so, Lord, would you reveal yourself to this generation in mighty, mighty, profound ways, God, so that they'll be mighty in the land. And, Lord, if they're the ones that need to lead us, this nation, into revival, so be it. I submit to that. As a 66-year-old man, I submit to that. As long as you have your way. So God, bless them, use them powerfully, and we thank you for them. You're such a good Father. It's good just to celebrate your goodness this morning in so many different ways. But Lord, we want to keep our eyes on you in the midst of this. And we thank you for revealing yourself to us. We thank you for meeting with us. You're never too busy for us. You're always available. And Lord, help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to connect with you deeply this day. And we'll give you the praise for it. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church, thank you so much for your financial faithfulness. It allows us to do lots of really neat, good ministries in town. And I want to remind you that giving options are through the offering boxes or electronically. God bless.
Treasures of faith. do some altar work this morning, y'all. Be honest with God. Is there anything in your life that you're placing above God? We all do it. I do it. But this morning, we want to confess that. We want to lay it down at the altar. Because nothing is better than God, and that's the truth. Nothing else in this world will fill you. And so worship is putting God first in the throne of your heart. So this morning, if there's anything in your way of your relationship with God, if you're placing importance, I want you to tell God and confess that, and I want you to proclaim that He is first and that there's nothing better than Him.
Oh, there's nothing better than You. There's nothing better than You. There's nothing, nothing is better than You.
We know for anything that we want to do in our spiritual lives that we cannot do it on our own, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God completely.
Yeah.
As we were worshiping, just sometimes just kind of get overwhelmed with the love of God. That's what I'm feeling this morning. I feel so thankful that God loves me, He loves us, and I'm also so thankful for each of you. Love each one of you guys. If you are our guest this morning, we're really glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ. Hope you feel the presence of His Spirit. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you, has a blue stripe and says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I'll be at this end of the foyer, have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you. As Billy said, in a couple of weeks, I'll have a Discover class. If you want to learn more about our church, and I'd love for you to be there at 9 o'clock in the office in a couple of weeks. Dina Warren is going to read the word for us this morning.
Good morning. Before I share the word, I just want to again reiterate to all of our seniors what a pleasure it has been. I'm going to cry because I've worked with all of you all this time too, and it's been so wonderful seeing you in sixth grade when we got to work with you and see where you've blossomed. So I wish you all the best of luck. Amen. So our reading today is from Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach to them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Daniel. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be your people. It's good to be loved by you. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you... I said this in the email this week, but have you ever been hungry? I was really hungry. From probably, I guess, about when I hit about maybe 8-10 years old, I became hungry, and it hasn't stopped. My mom could make a pound of hamburger meat, feed, you know, like 2 dozen. But I kind of got thrown back into those years a few years ago. We were backpacking. And Jordan, our youngest, was dating this young man named Chance. And we climbed up in the mountains. We spent a few days up in the mountains, and we were coming out. And it's a long. I mean, I don't know. It's probably an 8-hour trek to get out of the mountains, and it's taxing. You're carrying, you know, your everything you've been living in for a week on your back. And normally you stop about halfway, and we would have lunch. But we decided, everybody was like, no, I had told them about this steakhouse when we got back in this town and how good it was, and showers were waiting for us. And so we just decided, no, we just hiked right on through lunch, and we got everything. We took our shower, and we went to the steakhouse. And how many of you were here remember Mark and Helen Wilcox? Bunch of you. Mark and Helen were precious members of our church, and Mark passed away from cancer a few years ago, and Helen, I think, is back home in Ohio. But Mark was with us, and we go to this restaurant, and the biggest steak on the menu was a 19-ounce, what they called a porterhouse. We would call it a T-bone. Show a picture. This is about a 19-ounce. That's a slab of meat there, huh? Now here's Chance saw this 19-ounce porterhouse on the menu. And I snapped a picture of him right after he saw this, and if it arrived, go ahead and show that. He's longingly looking at that steak. Okay, maybe that wasn't the exact picture, but it was close to that. And so they're bringing out our salads, and Mark, you know, he was a couple of years older than me. Mark, he's salting and peppering his salad, and he's making sure the croutons are spread out properly, and he's getting everything ready, you know. And he looks over there, and all that's left is the T-bone on Chance's plate. And I'll never forget Mark's comment was, "Man, I hadn't even started my salad yet." Well, that was my clue that Cheryl and I... Because my other daughter had a boyfriend similar. You don't be hiding back here, Ryan. I know where you are. That was when we realized our grocery bill was going to double. And both those young men have become my son-in-laws, and I love them, and I'm glad they did. But they can eat. And now I have a grandson who's 7 who's matching dad. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, really hungry. So, we're continuing this sermon series. I may have jumped on you, Lee. I'm giving Lee a workout back there today. The sermon series is blessed. Today's message is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You know, so each week I've talked about that, you know, Jesus is saying 9 times in 9 verses here that you'll be blessed if you do these certain things, if you have these certain characteristics, and that blessed meaning a state of divine favor, and I've been calling it God's sweet spot. It's where everything else, the world can be chaos, but when you're in God's sweet spot, when you are blessed by Him, you can weather any storm. That's what He's trying to teach us, how to be blessed. And so I'm going to jump right into this passage today. First point is, hunger and thirst indicates spiritual health. It indicates spiritual health. So I'm not a doctor, but I have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, so I feel qualified to tell you this. Some of y'all younger people hadn't seen the commercial, I guess. But if you go to a doctor if they might ask you, you know, or a loved one, you know, may say, he's not eating, he's not drinking. That's a sign something's going on. It's not a healthy sign. When we don't have an appetite, it's medically not a good thing. Well, guess what? Spiritually, that's not a good thing either. When we don't have an appetite for the things of God, that's a sign. Something's not right. Now, I'm the first one to admit that that you can kind of get into those just kind of a lull, spiritual lull, when things are going well and we really don't have a crisis in our lives. Anybody? Is it just me? I guess just me. When things are going well, we can get to the point where we really don't have that same hunger for the things of God. Well, that's not a good sign, church. It's not a good sign. Hunger and thirst indicates spiritual health. One of the first things that I'm around, being a pastor, I'm around a lot of folks when they're coming to the end of life in this world. And normally, it's a natural progression of things as this life is coming to an end, where somebody, they stop eating, they stop drinking. And you know that that's generally the sign that time is close. But man, to be healthy spiritually, we need to have that hunger, the things of God. Man, Scripture is full of this. Scripture has all kinds of things. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. There's this longing for Him. And it goes on to say, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. One of the things I was using this illustration in the early service that, you know, if you, I'm a football fan. Y'all pray for me. I'm a Dallas fan. One of the things you rarely see in the NFL football is repeat champions. It's very rare. Why do you think that is? Because once you've attained that trophy, I believe, the desire, the hunger, the passion to do it again wanes a little bit. It's like that next off season, it's like, I don't think I'll go in and work out like I did last time, because we just won that. Now, as I was thinking about that illustration, this memory, this, so I ran across this in my archives. Go ahead, Lee. So you see what I'm talking about, right? So for those, y'all explain to the younger folks that's we used to use those things. And hunger and thirst indicates spiritual health. If we're not yearning for the things of God, that's a red flag. Moves to the second point. Wrong food does not fill us. And I started to put junk food in there. I settled on wrong. But you know what I'm saying. You've heard the analogy that we all have a God-shaped hole in us, and we try to fill it with stuff, you know, with money and success and relationships and even hobbies, whatever. We try to feel that stuff that in us that only God can feel. So how many of you, and I'm watching my wife to see if she answers this, how many of you like chocolate? That's most of the room. That's why there's hardly ever any for you, Cheryl, because they're all eating it. So chocolate's great. Chocolate's fun, yes? If you don't like chocolate, you probably like some other kind of sweet. And I got an amen on that. So it's fun. It's great for us to indulge ourselves and have a little sweet. But what if that's all we ate? Sometimes if I eat too much sweets, you just don't feel right. You just feel like, I'm not sick. I just don't really. That's the way it is spiritually with us. When we try to fill that void with things that are not of God, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Isaiah 55, the Lord says, this is the Lord saying, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you will have, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come. Why spend money on what is not bread, your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. You know, you think he's talking about food there? He's saying, why do you waste your time pursuing all these things that are not going to fill you? Because only I will fill you and sustain you. Which leads me to the final point. Only God truly satisfies. Only God truly satisfies. You know, it's fine for us to have hobbies. It's fine for us to want to succeed at work. It's fine for us to enjoy our relationships and all those things. But when we begin to place who we are and whether or not we are spiritually filled on those things, I promise you, we're heading for a disappointment. It will not work out well. I was reminded, how many of you, when your babies were little, did they like a pacifier? Not all babies like pacifiers, but some do. And normally a pacifier, if a baby likes the pacifier, it'll work for a while, right? But eventually, what the satisfaction they're getting from sucking on that pacifier, they'll realize there's no nutrition in this. There's no milk there. And they'll end up still crying because the pacifier, while it may pacify them for a while, it will not truly satisfy. Peter says it like this, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Psalms 107, the Lord satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. You know, and even Jesus refers to himself as the living water, as the bread of life, among other things. These things that sustain us, that satisfy us. Jesus said he stood in a loud voice, it says in John 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within. So Jesus is saying, and again, this passage today, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He's saying, you want to be in God's sweet spot, hunger and thirst for me. I will fill you. All this other stuff doesn't work. It doesn't sustain us. It may satisfy us for a moment, but it will not sustain us. Jesus said, I'm the living water. If you're thirsty, come to him and drink. If you'll turn with me to page 12 in your hymnal, we're going to move into time with the Lord's Supper. It'll also be on your screen there. It's interesting, this meal that we're about to partake of, that there's sustenance in the bread and the juice. And that's, I believe, one of the reasons why Jesus used that. He wants us to remember him when we partake of this. If you will hear this invitation, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. Do you love him, church? You're invited. Who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you repent of your sin, church? You're invited. And to seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you will pray your own personal prayer of confession before our holy and loving God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. A great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right. And a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. If those who are serving would come forward, please. Christ has invited you to your his table. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are welcome here. You do not have to be a member of our church to partake. You also are not required to come and receive communion, but we hope you feel welcome to do that. There will be two stations at this side and two stations at this side. You'll be given a piece of bread. You dip the bread into the cup and partake. If you would like to have the individual elements, you can come to the center. You can go ahead and take those and return to your seat and partake there. I would open the bread first if I were you. It works better. So the invitation is from Christ. Come.
I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul.
People down front that would love to pray for you. If you would like to come and take advantage of that, please come after the service. They will be down front. Church, we have good news. When we hunger and thirst for Jesus, He will satisfy us. That's good news. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed.
Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.